Okay, Boker Tov, hope everybody's well. Welcome to our weekly class on the Siddur. Hopefully today we'll finish Le'olam Yehei Adam, right? We'll get to the Shema. Okay, so we finished last week. We were talking about there's basically two separate things here. We should always fear God and we should speak truth from the heart. And, you know, we discussed that in the last number of weeks. And then, you know, what do we do? We spoke about how lonely man is. What do we do with our life? And last week we spent a fair bit of time talking about Mayishuatenu, what's our salvation? And we said that, thank you very much, Janine, for that. So if it gets too bad, let me know. Hopefully we'll be fine. We said that Yeshuot was a reference in the Talmud to our, to tractate Nizikin or Seder Nizikin that talks about our monetary dealings and Tzipita Yeshua, salvation. That's basically the foundation of Judaism is Nasata Venatata Be'emunah, that our business practices relate to if we have faith in God. This week's parsha, Nochi Hashem Elokecha, the Aseret HaDibrot, the opening statement. So the believe in God is not what you took in theology class, but it's how you live your life, and especially in the business world, because the Talmud says, I don't know if you mentioned this last week, the Talmud says that on Rosh Hashanah, God decrees how much money a person is going to make, whatever that means exactly, all these statements, very hard to know exactly what they mean. But the concept is that God, you know, we have to work, we have to partner with God, but God determines our wealth. So one who cheats in business basically shows he doesn't believe in God. God says A, and I say no, A plus, so whatever. So we spoke about the first half talks about the loneliness of man, and then we switch, and we're going to get to Aval Anachnu, but we're different. We're the greatest of man, and this is the constant going back and forth between man is like an animal, and man is created in the image of God. And of course, both are true because both are true. And we do both. And, you know, and our goal is to shift along from animal to human being, to take more of our godly character traits than our animalistic traits. And I just want, you know, we have this idea a lot, you know, like, it could be like this or it could be like that, depending on how you use it. Probably the most famous example that came to my head, maybe of others, is the fact that when the Talmud says man was created last, man is the last creation. It's interesting. This morning in shul and in chat, you know, we're back in live school, so we have a Dvar Torah every morning. So the person giving the Dvar Torah, Rabbi Mandel, was giving the Dvar Torah. So he sort of asked the kids, "You have the Aseret HaDibrot. You have the two sides, the side between man and man, and man and God." So he said, "Which are more important?" So he asked the kids, which do you think are more important? This is your question. So I don't know if I ask you, which side is more important? Everybody's afraid to answer. No one wants to risk it. Don't worry. Whatever you say, you
can. I think relationship between we have to be godlike. As we can try to be godlike.
The truth of the matter is, I would say it's like the Talmud has a debate. What's more important, to learn or to do? Talmud or Maaseh? Learning or greater? The Talmud says for 3 years, they had this debate. Is Talmud, learning Talmud Torah Kenegu Kulam, Torah is the basis of our life. It's identifying with God. It's learning about God. It's studying God. It's studying what to do. Torah is everything. Torah, the study is more important, you know, in the laboratory or in the base medrash or action. So Mara said they debated for 3 years and they came to a funny conclusion. The conclusion was that Torah is great. Talmud is greater, like study is greater because it leads to action. So what does that mean? So that means that action is greater. In other words, Talmud is greater because it leads to action. So action is greater, but Talmud is the basis for action. If you don't know, you don't do. So I think in many ways that's, we can say the same thing between man and God and man and man. That, man and God, if you believe in God, if you truly believe in God, not you say you believe in God, with belief in God, I said many times, it's very hard to believe in God. We don't see God. We don't hear God. It's very hard. Well, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai told his students, fear God as much as you fear man. Halavai, the greatest of rabbis would fear God as much as they fear man. It's hard. So, but fear of God is the basis for how we act man. If we truly believe that man is created in the image of God, we're going to treat people very very differently. So the basis, it's like Talmud, the basis, belief in God. Yesod ha-yesodot b'amud ha-amudot. That's how the Rambam begins his code. The foundation of foundation and the pillar of pillars is to know that there's a God in the world. Not because knowing that there's a God in the world is more important, but to know because knowing there's God in the world will impact on how we treat man. Ultimately, man, that's how I understand the man and man is more important, but the methodology to man and man is through man and God. Where the man and God, if you have a true understanding of God, will bring you to a greater level of man and man. There's some people reach high levels of man and man, they're secular humanists. Okay, Seder, that means that that's not, it doesn't mean man and God is the only reason for man and God is to get to man and man. That's not true either. Man and God has its own independent reason. But I would say a similar thing. Truth of the matter, I've said many times, of course, the Aseret HaDibrot, it's in two tablets. I may have even mentioned this last week. I don't even remember. Tell me if I did. It's two tablets. Man and God, I said, you read them, you shouldn't read them like vertically, you should read them horizontally. I believe in God, therefore I don't kill. I only have one God, no adultery, right? I honor people, I'm not jealous. Keep Shabbat, don't give false testimony, right? The Shabbat is our testimony of God. So man and God go together. There is no distinction in Judaism between man and God. Every mitzvah, every ritual, our prophets hate ritual all the time. The ritual is only important if it's a means to an ethical improvement, right? We fast on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, so we'll give extra tzedakah. That's why we fast on Yom Kippur. That's the main reason we fast. So why? Because until you know what it's like to be hungry, you don't understand the pain other people feel. That's a big issue we have. And in order to really understand, you have to go through it yourself. So that's why we're supposed to see ourselves as if we left Egypt, because if we don't feel slavery, we can't appreciate, you know, freedom. So we don't want to be slaves, but it's the same type of thing. We always, so we have to fast. The Torah says you have to fast to know what hunger is like. If you don't know what hunger is like, you can't appreciate how important it is to make sure other people aren't hungry. So but they go together. Man and man, God, they're not distinct units the way we like to say. We call it like that, but it's really sort of a misnomer. It's a mistake. Man and God are the same thing, because man is God, because man is created in the image of God. I know that sounds heretical, but that's what it says in the Torah. We're created in the image of God. So they all go together. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So what comes first, right? Why was man created last? So this morning, Rabbi Mendel, in giving the Dvar Torah, asking the kids what's more important. So he said, one of the answers he said, well, you'll say man and God is more important because it's written first. Usually, you know, when a speaker, somebody is talking, you say the most important things first, because, you know, people lose attention after a while. So the most important thing comes first. So you have to have man and, so Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's got to be, that's what comes first. That's the most important. So that's what the Medrash says. One view or one idea in the Medrash. Well, hold on. What was created first? Man was created last. Man must be the least important. That's what the Medrash says. If man is, man is created last. I know it's not exactly parallel, but the idea, man is last, so the whole world is ready for him. The Gemara says, it depends. If man is worthy, so then we say, man came onto the scene, they had trees and vegetation, everything was all ready for man to live, a wonderful life. So that's why he's created last. Like the president of the United States at the State of the Union address, he walks in last. The Congress is sitting, the most important person that comes in last when everything's ready, they roll out the red carpet. So that's that. But if man is not worthy, we tell him even an ant was created before. That's the famous measures. Either or. If we're like this, then it's A. If we're like that, it's like B. If we're like this, we're an animal. If we're like this, we're created in the image of God. If man and woman get along together, that's beautiful. And if not, they're fire, right? You know that famous thing, right? They tell every married couple, ish v'isha, right? Ish v'isha. The only difference is the yud and ish and the hey and isha. So yud and hey is, of course, the name of God. What makes the couple together, right? They join together, as the Rambam says. Marriage is, it's what the Rambam says. I'm not saying the only purpose of marriage, but marriage is, the method for which you grow in your relationship to God. You need a partner. You want to grow your business. You need a partner. So in life, we need a partner to help us in our relationship with God. That's a Azer Kenegdo. You should find the partner who's not exactly like you. Azer Kenegdo, somebody who's against you, who's a little bit different, because that's how you grow. Because if the two people are the same, they make the same errors, the same mistakes. You need people who can see the faults in others. That's how the Netziv explains. Azer Kenegdo, you help a person by being against them, being differently from them. So we need a partner in everything we do. So Ish v'Isha come together, man and woman, you know, men are, I don't know who's from Venus and who's from Mars, but the one is from the other. And so what makes an Ish v'Isha wonderful? Yeah, the Yud and the Hey, the coming together, growing in God. You take away God, Eshochla, then you have fire left. That's a very nice, cute little midrash or whatever, but you have a lot of that, either A or either B. You have that in our tefillot all the time. Even the notion of Avinu Malkeinu is sort of opposites, you know, is God our father or God our king? It's both. We have all these things all the time, the dialectic, the tension between two opposite ideas. Okay. So that was basically the first half. Man is like an animal. Aval anachnu amcha, right in the middle, right? Aval anachnu amcha b'nei britecha b'nei Abraham ohavcha shenishbata lo v'armiya. But we are different. We are your nation who you made a covenant with us. B'nei Abraham, we are the children of Abraham who loved you. Ohavcha, who you're, right? Shenishbata lo v'har Moriah. You made a promise to him on Har Moriah. Well, it's very interesting. Why do we say God? First of all, Avram is described, and we have this a lot of places, as the Avram Oavi, the one, Avram is the one who loved God. So, that's the first, right? Avram's our founder, our founding father, and we describe him, the first relationship to God, our first relationship to God should be of love. We know that love and fear. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to love God, and there's a mitzvah to fear God. Talking about opposites, you can't get more opposite than that. You can't love and fear the same person. That's impossible. A person who you love, you don't fear them. And somebody who you're afraid of, it's very hard to love the person. That's why there's no mitzvah to fear your wife, to fear your husband. You have to love them. Right, reacha, the Talmud said means a spouse. So that's the key meaning of reacha. The Talmud says is a spouse. So you have to you have that. That's the love relationship there. And by the way, there's no mitzvah to love your parents, because the mitzvah is to be in awe, to fear your parents. So that's what you can't have both. Our relationship to our parents is not one of love, because love, it doesn't mean we shouldn't love our parents, but love means equality. People love, they're on the same level. We're not, that's not a relationship. The Torah says the relationship between a parent and a child is awe, fear. Yeah, you can't sit in their seat, can't call them a name, you can't even contradict them. We, of course, we want our kids to do that. We live in a different world. But according to the Talmudic thing, if your father says, I'm voting Democrat, you're not allowed to say at the dinner table, you know, with guests, I'm voting Republican. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara doesn't use that example. The Gemara says you're not allowed to say anything. That's not kibud abayim. That the father's voting Democrat, Republican, you're conservative, liberal, whatever. You can't contradict them. So today we don't consider that. I think most normal parents, I think, would encourage their kids to have their own opinion and to disagree, but the relationship between a child and a parent is awe, and the relationship between a spouse is love. The relationship between human beings is love. The relationship to a convert is love. Only in the relationship between man and God do we have this notion to love and fear. This is, again, the tension. It's, and those are, they contradict each other in many ways. So the Ramban famously says that love of God is reflected in mitzvot aseh. Positive mitzvot reflect love of God, and fear of God is reflected in mitzvot lo taseh. You know, don't do that. As a matter of fact, there's I forgot to look it up. I didn't think I was going to mention this. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful, this is one of the few talks I listened to Rav Soloveitchik, you know, tape, a 2-hour tape on the Sirat HaDibrot. So, we have this week's parsha. Vayedaber, how does the Sirat HaDibrot begin? Vayedaber, how does it begin? I'm sorry, no, how does the Sirat HaDibrot begin? Vayedaber, let me look it up. I should know this, of course, by heart, but I'm not. My mind is by the bear at Lemor. That by the bear Elohim Ekolad Rimela Lemor. And God spoke all these things, Lemor. So the word Lemor is a very difficult word. By the Rishon Moshe Lemor. Lemor, so we normally translate as saying. So, but in biblical Hebrew, by the Rishon Moshe Lemor, Lemor means to say to others that, God told Moshe Lemor. God told Moshe, go tell the Jewish people, by the Rishon Moshe Lemor. So what does it mean? By the Rishon Moshe Kolad Rimele Lemor. God spoke all these things. Who's saying to who? God is saying. Nobody has to repeat it to anybody. So the Midrash says, no, that teaches us that whenever God gave a mitzvah, we answered. God said Anochi, and we said yes. And God said Lo Yelohim Achrim, and we said yes. And God said Lo Tirtzach, and we said yes. So here, the Mechilta has Rashi only quotes one opinion, but the Mechilta has a debate. It's like a ridiculous debate. Like it sounds so silly. Hain hain va love love, or hain hain va love hain. In other words, God said don't kill. So the Jewish people say yeah, we won't kill, or the Jewish people say no, we won't kill. It's the same thing. But how, yes, of course we won't kill, or no, we won't kill. So Rav Soloveitchik, what are they arguing about? So Rav Soloveitchik developed a whole theme, a whole shir, and if I can remember the whole thing, it was a beautiful idea. Why, in other words, are we not doing the mitzvah because we love God or because we fear God? In other words, is it, of course, I would never do that. Yes, of course, yes, I agree. Or no, okay, I won't do that. You tell me I can't do that. I really would do that. But no, I'm going to listen to what you say. It's a very different attitude. Are we doing the mitzvot because we want to? Yes, of course. Are we doing the mitzvah? Okay, God, wow, thank you for revealing yourself and letting us know what we have to do. So is it, that's the same idea. Is it the mitzvah we do because of love of God or because of fear of God? So in the Begadol, so the mitzvot say our love of God and the mitzvot lota say negative commandments are fear of God. And of course, the Ramban then famously says, when there's a conflict between mitzvah aseh and mitzvah lo taseh, aseh doche lo taseh. The positive takes precedence over the negative. If you have a pair of tzitzis, that's the classic example in the Talmud. A pair of tzitzis of wool and linen, kilayim, shatnes. No, can't wear it. No, you do wear it because the mitzvah aseh overpowers the mitzvah lotase. So because love of God is more important than fear of God. So that's how we're introduced to Avram. By the way, somebody should ask me a question, right? What do you mean aseh toche lotase? A positive commandment beats a negative commandment. What about the principle of mitzvah of Veira? That's like the first gemara everybody learns. Lulav hagazel. You can't use a stolen lulav. What do you mean? You can't do a mitzvah through an aveira. What do you mean? I'm going to wear shatnez and get a mitzvah. No. Mitzvah, the means, the ends don't justify the means. There's mitzvah ba aveira. So how does that jive with aseh doche lo taseh? And the aseh doche lo taseh, that's the first few pages in Yevamot. Those who are learning Daf Yomi can get excited in about 50 days or so. We'll start Yevamot, will finish Moed, and the beginning of Yevamot is all about, it's about aseh doche lo taseh, because it talks about the mitzvah of Yibum. There's a prohibition to marry your sister-in-law. That's incest. You're not allowed to marry your sister-in-law. And yet the Torah tells you, you have to marry your sister-in-law, of course, under a tragic situation. But in other words, here you have the notion of aseh doche lo taseh. So what do you mean? What about mitzvah ba'aveira? So the simple answer is, that are we talking between man and God and man and man? When it's two mitzvot between man and God, kilayim and tzitzis, nothing to do with I said before, every mitzvah teaches a lesson about man. But fundamentally, shatnes and tzitzis are mitzvot between man and God. So God says, I prefer you love me than you are in fear of me or even in awe of me. And therefore, do the mitzvah to say. Mitzvah hababa beira, that's when it's between man and man. I can't steal your lulav to do a mitzvah. Well, I'm going to take from another human being so I can worship God. That's a mitzvah above aveira. It's a worthless mitzvah. It's not nothing to, you know, can't connect. So they seem contradictory. Aseh doche lo taseh, mitzvah above aveira, but they're not. One is our relationship to God is different than our relationship to man. And again, our relationship to man is only love, and how can you steal from somebody? Our relationship with God has this added element. Okay. Anyway, so Avraham Avinu is known as Avraham Ohavcha, the one who loved you. Now, Nishbata lo Bahar Moriah. So this is very interesting. God promised him at Har Moriah. Is that the place where God promised Abraham? What did God promise Abraham at Har Moriah? Anybody? God, how many promises did God make to Abraham, you know, over the course of time? So the truth of the matter is I don't have the answer to that. But when did God make promises to Abraham? What promise did he make after the Akedah? Okay, why don't we take a look? Why don't we take a look what it says? Because it says, Nishbata lo b'har ha-Moriah. So Har Moriah is, that's where God told him to go for Akedat Yitzchak. So you go here, go here. No, this, here, at the beginning, God says, now we'll see this verse is going to come up in a second, so we might as well. This word yechidcha comes up a lot here now. It's going to come up in a moment. Your son, your only son, the one you love, et yitzchak b'lechachal eretz ha-Moriah. The Torah is very clear. Moriah, Har Moriah, the place of fear of God. Here we are talking, it's interesting. Here we talk about fear. Moriah is to fear God. The Akedah is not, it's a demonstration of the awe, the power of God. It's not the love of God. You do it, and in other words, it shows Abraham's greatness to bow to God, but that's not a relationship of love, to sacrifice. That's a relationship of awe and fear. But anyways, when Abraham does what he's supposed to do, so then the Torah tells us that, by the way, it's interesting, he doesn't, God doesn't really bless him. Malach Hashem. Vayikra Malach Hashem, El Avram Sheni Min Hashamayim. Vayomer, Yan, because you did this, you were willing to sacrifice your son, and you didn't try to save him. Kibarech, I will bless you. Barbed Zaracha Kachachvei Hashamayim Gokhol Asher Asfathayim. I will bless you like the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. They will defeat your enemy. The entire world will be blessed through you. That's Abraham. That's what he said at the beginning of Lech Lecha. That the world will be blessed through Abraham. So it's very interesting. Basically, it's a Malach Hashem. There are other times where God blesses Abraham, comes to Abraham. And here, this is the angel of God who's blessing Abraham. And I think, why does the Siddur put it? Why did they put the blessing of Har HaMoriah? Why not the other blessings that God made? So I think that's Rav Soloveitchik's idea that basically sacrifice, blessing comes out of sacrifice, our relationship to God. When man is willing to sacrifice, that's when we attain a great relationship. That's what a covenant is. What is Brit Ben Haptarim? Yadoa Teda Kigeri Yezaracha. Barsolem will be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. That's what we're reading about. You know, this the whole Lita from Abraham till you see Mitzrayim is all, that's the covenant. The covenant is you have to suffer. And as Rabbi Silber in Drisha, I heard him many times, would often point out that the makes it even harder is most of the people who suffered didn't get the redemption. In other words, took 400 years. So lots of people have to suffer for 400 years. So 10 generations later, somebody is going to benefit. But in order to develop a relationship to be worthy of the promises, unfortunately, there's a period of suffering that molds it, that molds who you are. And that's what the Torah, of course, says. Because we suffered in Egypt, we should make sure other people don't suffer. Now, just because we did suffer, that's no excuse to make others to suffer. And over again, be kind to the stranger. But I find it interesting that what was the blessing or the idea that you'll be like the stars in the heaven and the sand on the sea? Well, those are sort of opposites. To me, I don't know. This sounds like Avram, a fulfillment of the purpose of creation. It's Shemayim Va'aretz. Bereshit Elohim et Shemayim et Ha'aretz. And then God blesses Abraham with the Shemayim and the Aretz, like the stars in the heaven and the earth below. So I think somehow this is, and then the idea of sort of being an Or L'Goyim, being a messenger to the world, that everybody will be blessed through you. So that's perhaps why, I don't know, as the Siddur picks up the idea of Har HaMoriah, the idea of willing to sacrifice. And remember, this tefillah. Remember, we said a few weeks ago, Anishma was instituted in a period of persecution of the Jews. Historically, it had to do when they were not permitted to gather in shul to say Shema. This was said at home. Remember, we said it's an instruction. We told you to say it b'seter b'galui. We told the person to go home and to say the Shema. Yeah, whoever is talking, if they can mute themselves, please. So this whole what we're talking about now is reminds us every in theory. I mean, I don't know that people really think about it, but if the reason it's in the Siddur is because of the persecution of the Jewish people. So we talk about the suffering that we went through, and that cemented, I would say, the love that Abraham had to with God. Okay, Zera Yitzchak Yechido. We talked about the notion of Yachid. So, what makes Zera Yitzchak Yechido, the seed of Abraham, of Yitzchak, so how do you translate Yechido? The only one, the beloved one, the special one, right? Kibi Yitzchak Yikare Lecha Zara. So we know, of course, that, that's the beginning of the Akedah, though we'll just share it again for a second. So we know the famous Rashi, the beginning of the Akedah. So God says to Abraham, he says, Kachna et bincha et yechidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. So why does he have to talk so much? Just take your son. So at bincha, so everyone says, I have two sons. I have Yishmael. Take yechidcha. So he, your favorite one, yachid, or the special one, the unique one. Oh, they're both unique. Asher ahavta. I love them both. Et Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak, right? This is the famous Rashi. Of course, we know that Abraham yearned to have a relationship with Ishmael. He didn't even really need another kid. That's a whole lots to talk about there. But so Yitzchak, the Torah is saying Yitzchak is the Yechidcha. Abraham, it was wrong. In other words, it shouldn't have gotten to Abraham. Yitzchak is Yechidcha. Yitzchak is the special one, the unique one, the only one with whom there can be a relationship. And we know, of course, it's fascinating that both Abraham, because we know Abraham doesn't, it's only because of Sarah that they remove Yishmael from house. It's really because of Sarah that Yitzchak becomes Yitzchak. Abraham wouldn't have happened. And if it would be through Yitzchak, Esav would be the one. So it's fascinating. Basically, Abraham and Yitzchak chose the wrong son. They put their bet on the wrong horse. I don't know what to say. You know, that's when it's only the perception, the perceptiveness of Sarah and Rivka that allowed Jewish people to grow. That's what that's what they said. It was obviously the merit, the Bina Yeteira, as the Gemara says, the extra insight that women have to allow that. Abraham Yechidcha could have been Yishmael. But so we point out Zera Yitzchak Yechido Shena Karal Kavim Yizbech. What made him Yechid? Again, Shena Karal Kavim Yizbech. And it's very interesting. Here the emphasis is not so much on Abraham. It's on Yitzchak. In other words, Yitzchak was willing to go, right? We always take this. This is a test of Abraham, right? It's called Akedat Yitzchak. And we all know we don't know how old Yitzchak was, but we know he was old enough to understand what's going on because he's asked his father, where's the Sela Ola? You said we're going to a sacrifice. Where's the animal? Yitzchak was beginning to pick up there's something here. And if you remember in the summer, when Gil Pearl gave a few talks about art and he saw the pictures of the Akedah, and he said there's a tremendous, it's fascinating to look how artist depictions of the Akedah, and some of them have Yitzchak going very willingly and some of them Yitzchak yelling and screaming, he wants to get out of here, like, well, are you crazy, you're gonna slaughter me. It's a fascinating thing. The Torah doesn't tell us what Yitzchak is thinking, but Zera Yitzchak Yechido Shena Karak Abimizbech. Yitzchak was unique. And that he went to the Mizbeach, and in a sense, that's his uniqueness. And that's why Yitzchak is so different. Yitzchak is, I always say the Jewish people, we suffer from the Yitzchak syndrome. It's a terrible disease that the Jewish people, I shouldn't phrase it like that, but I'll explain, inherited from Yitzchak. What's that? The inability to see evil in others. because I don't want to say we're so good. We're not always so good, but you know what I mean? Because we have a Torah, we have a 4,000 years teaching us how to be nice to people and empathetic and sincere. So somebody knocks on your shul on Shabbos morning asking for tea. So of course you let him in and you talk to him. Then he holds you hostage for 12 hours. Okay. The Jewish people, it's very beautiful. He let him in. What are the chances are he's going to, you know, nobody knows that, but on a much grander scale, we often don't see. We couldn't believe the Nazis were going to do what they do. How could they do that? No human being can do that. No, that's impossible. So that's the Yitzchak syndrome. Yitzchak couldn't see Esav. He couldn't see Esav for what he was, for good reason. This person was willing to sacrifice himself on the altar. How he can't believe other people would cheat and murder and kill. It's impossible. So there's a naivete, which on the one hand is very beautiful, but it's a little dangerous. It's a little bit dangerous. And that's sort of, that's the Rivka. That's why you need Rivka to wake up Yitzchak. It goes a little bit too pure. He was so pure. So he was so special. Anybody who was on the Akedah who nearly died. And of course, Yitzchak, he never left the land of Israel. And Yitzchak is the only one. That's what some of the commentaries say. Yichicha means he's the only one who didn't have his name changed. Avram and Yaakov had their name changed. Why didn't Yitzchak have his name changed? Why did Avram and Yaakov have their name changed and not Yitzchak?
He was given his name by Hashem.
Ah, very good. So that's one answer. Ki v'Yitzchak yikarei lecha Zera, right? How did Avram get his name? We don't know. We don't know if Avram got his name. Because he just, Nachor named him. Avram, Haran, Terach named his three sons. The Torah doesn't tell us why he got his name. The Torah, by the way, tells us why Noah got his name. It's very interesting. The Lemach Zeyinachamenu, because Noah is the first person born after Adam dies. Obviously, he wasn't the first person born after Adam dies. He's the first person the Torah mentioned who was born after Adam died. And remember, at the curse of Adam was that the ground won't give forth the fruit. The Adama will be cursed. So Zeyinachameni. So now that Adam has died, so this son should be comfort from the curse of Avram. So it's very interesting. Noach, who's not Jewish, we know why he's called Noach. We're never told why Avram is called Avram. Now, Avram, was that his real name or is that the Torah giving a name? Like we know that Moshe, right? I mean, Moshe is an Egyptian name. Of course, everybody knows that, right? But Avram, it sounds like a Hebrew name. I don't know. Is Terach giving him that name or that's the Torah just putting that name into Terach's mouth? I have no idea. We know Terach was a Zionist. He wanted to go to Israel. So it's very clear, but his name was changed. That's one answer. It was given by God, and Yaakov was also, Akeb, he's holding on to his brother's heel. So he got the name Yaakov. Okay. Very nice. What else? Why else? What else can we see? Elaine, I'll get to your question a little bit later. So I would say because this Yitzchak was like, Yitzchak didn't change much. Yitzchak was Yitzchak, you know, from the time he was born till the time he died. He was born in an environment from day one where Sarah protected him, and he was going to live in this pristine environment. And then the Akedah, he never left Israel. He was this pure, pure person. Avraham and Yaakov, especially Yaakov, we don't know so much about Avraham on purpose, we've mentioned, because the Torah doesn't want to tell us, because the Torah tells very little about Moshe too, but the Torah doesn't want us copying Avraham. Everybody has to find their own path to God. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Everybody has to find their own path to God, your individual path. So if the Torah spells out too much how they found God, we'd be too prone to copying Abraham, and it wouldn't work for us. We're not every, they're based on your own personality, find God. But Avraham transformed himself. He went from Avraham to Avraham on Goyim. He went to, you know, I would even say, you know, we say in the Haggadah, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu, right? In the beginning, our forefathers worshipped idols. So I always ask people, which one of our forefathers worshipped idols? It says, that's what it says in the Haggadah, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu. Which one of our forefathers worshipped idols? It's not such a hard question. Anybody?
Terach.
That's technically Terach. Terach. So he says, but Terach is Avotenu. Right. So you could say it means Terach. It means their Avotenu here doesn't mean our forefathers, it means our ancestors. Right. That's how most people Terach. But I think it's sharper because to say it's Abraham. Of course, Abraham worshipped idols. He was brought up like perhaps as Rabbi Sam was talking last night, I mentioned, maybe Moshe worshipped idols. Kohen Midyan. He lived with Kohen Midyan for 60 years. How many years he lived with him? But it could have been 60 years. Easily, he could have been living with Kohen Midyan for 60 years. Yitro, who tried every avodah zarah, has a nice relationship with his son-in-law. His son-in-law is tending a sheep. It's not like Yaakov and Laban. The relationship between Yitro and Moshe is totally different than the relationship between Yaakov and Laban. So maybe Moshe worshipped on. Maybe that's what Moshe. Who am I? How can I go take out? I myself don't know who God is, you know? That's what Moshe says. God, who are you? When Moshe says to God, I'm going to tell, the Jewish people are going to ask me who you are. And, what should I tell them? So, Zeshmi Lolam, Zezik Milo Torvator. So, you know what? It's like the royal we. When Moshe says, what should I tell who God is? Moshe can be asking about himself. God, I don't know who you are. What's this God? I grew up in Egypt. I grew up in Midian. I don't know from the God of Israel, right? And that's why Moshe, he has the chutzpah, the way he argues with God and the way he says no to God and there are other gods and, and God complains. Moshe, you're like, right? Could be Moshe worshiped idols too, for all I know. Worshiping idols isn't so bad. I've said many times. I mean, don't just quote me that and then end of the story and leave the class and then say, I said worshiping idols isn't so bad. We've said many, many times, I've quoted Avodah Zarah is Avodah, is worship. It just went off the rails a little bit. And the Torah makes a big deal. You can't go off the rails. Got to be on things that are really, really important. Even a small mistake is fatal. So that's what it is. Avodah Zarah is beautiful. I much prefer Avodah Zarah than no worship of God. Atheism is worse. They don't believe in anything. At least in Avodah Zarah, they have a notion of a God. The Torah says it's not good enough. It's so not good enough, it's fatal. But it's Avodah Zarah. But in order to get to Avodah, you have to have sometimes Avodah Zarah. Avram needed to go through, and maybe Moshe too, the process of Avodah Zarah. So mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, are you Avotenu? So maybe it's Terach, I don't know. But so what school did Terach send Avram to? What? So Terach didn't, even if it is, of course it's Avram. It has to be Avram. And that's great. That's fine. He was exposed to God. It's like the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Christian, we don't know the ways of God. That's what the Rambam writes in the censored version in Hilchot Milachim. The Rambam writes that, I mean, it's uncensored. I don't know why it was censored, but the Rambam writes God's ways are strange to us, and Christianity and Islam was created in order to bring the messianic fervor, to bring God's name to the world. Christianity was much better than paganism. They only believe in three gods, and maybe really the three is one. Really, that's why it could be it's not a Avodah Zarah. Many of the Rishonim, Christianity is not a Avodah Zarah, for Christians at least, right? So the Rambam writes, and they talk about Mashiach, and that's wonderful because it influenced the Jewish world. They can see why it was censored out, and they said, we don't understand God's ways. So yes, sometimes you need a Avodah Zarah to get to Avodah Hashem. So that's Avram. Yitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, you Avotenu. And then from that, you know what, your understanding of God, I think, is mistaken. I'm going to search for a new understanding of God. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, then, even the halacha says you can't contradict your parents. That's only if they're voting Democrat or Republican. But in Torah matters, of course you can contradict your parents. That's the funny thing. You might think the opposite because Torah is truth, right? A student can question his teacher. Don't accept anybody. Who cares? You question. Everybody knows. Isha vivi moti ra'ovet shabto tai tishmaro. You have to fear God and keep Shabbat. And everybody knows the famous Rashi that if your parents tell you to violate Shabbat, they tell you to violate anything. So you don't listen to your parents. There's no kivud avim. So on Torah matters. So Avram can have great honor for his parents. Let's say, Dad, I don't think your path is the right path. So that's Avram transformed his life. So his name. What do we add to Avram? Hey is God's name, right? That's our reference. That's what we did with Avram. We Avram became from Avram, just a great name, a father of greatness. Now he put God into himself. He went from Avodah Zarah to Avodah. Yaakov, of course, also totally transformed his life. Not from Avodah Zarah. By that time, Baruch Hashem, the Yitzchak and Avram, they had the ways of Avodah Hashem. But I don't have to tell you, Yaakov doesn't become Yisrael till he struggles also, till he fights with the angel and the way he treats his brother. He goes from an Akev, he goes from a heel to a Sarel, to a prince of God. So there, Yaakov and Avram live transformative lives. Their lives are totally transformed from Yitzchak is Yitzchak. There's only one parsha in the Torah about Yitzchak because the stories of Yitzchak don't have much. Yitzchak is, is in many ways, Yitzchak is the most important of the Avot, because always when there's a revolution, it dies out in the second generation. Yitzchak is the link, but that's what he is. It's very hard. That's why Yitzchak is known as Gvura, as strength. It takes great strength to copy your father. Everybody likes to be in it. They don't want to go out on their own. Yitzchak's role was to take Abraham and transfer it to Yaakov. That's a very difficult role. To tell you, he can't have any initiative. You dig the same wells as your father. When there's famine, you do the same thing your father. Everything you do what your father did. You know, that's not human nature. Human nature is that you want to take the advantage. You want to take your father's money and then start your own business, right? That's what people like to do. So Yitzchak is the transitional figure. It's very important, but there's not so much to gain from it. And therefore his story is told in Parsha Tolda. Avram is told in Lech Lecha Vayerecha Yisara, and Yaakov is told from, Toldot till the end of the Torah. Okay, we throw in Yosef in the middle, but that's the story of Yaakov too. That's Yosef is the story of Yaakov, and the Chumash ends. Bereishit ends with Yaakov. So their transformative life so represents their names. Okay, but Zera Yitzchak Yichido. Yitzchak was, you know, from the beginning to the end, he was Yitzchak. He's a pure soul, willing to die, willing to sacrifice himself, whatever the picture may say, whatever for God. Yeah, okay. And Yitzchak is known in mystical literature, you know, it's pachad Yitzchak, the fear, the awe of Yitzchak. Abraham is love, ohavi. Yitzchak is pachad, is the fear, the awe, the willingness to be sacrificed. But that's it's a totally different, Yitzchak copied everything his father did, but he was a totally different personality. I mean, Avram and Yitzchak are so different in their ways of life and, etc. Okay. Adat Yaakov, let's continue. Adat Yaakov bincha v'choracha. Oh, I forgot to quote the pasuk. Yaakov, our eldest son. That's funny. Yaakov wasn't the oldest. Why is Yaakov called bincha b'choracha? So, okay, he bought, whatever. He has the b'chor. So it's referring to he's the eldest son. Okay, but it's a funny expression. It could say adat Yaakov. Now, we only become an eda. We only become a congregation through Yaakov. Because until then, there's only one. It's only with Yaakov's 13 children, all accepting, all staying within the fold. So that's when we become an eda. So it's a Yaakov bincha b'choracha. So I don't think Bicha Becharecha is referring to, you know, he took this from Esav, that he brought the bracha. It's like a funny thing. You read Bicha Becharecha, it's like it's drawn. So it's most likely based on, I didn't put it up, on the pasuk that when Moshe and God are having this whole discussion. So God tells Moshe, okay, I've had enough. Okay, when Moshe finally agrees, he goes back to Yitro. Okay, I'm going back. So he said, God tells the Moshe, go already. You'll do all these signs for Paro. But Marta Paro, this is Perak Dalid in Shmot Pasu Kaf Beit 422. Ko Amar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. My children are my eldest. Vayomer Shalach et b'ni, send my children, my oldest child. In other words, b'chor doesn't mean eldest chronologically. B'chor means beloved, like my special son, my b'chor. My, the one who have a special relationship. I mean, we find that maybe a little bit strange, but the idea, you know, that the Bechor here refers to a special relationship between God and Jubil. Of course, the Torah is very, like, you know, it's cute. Komar's b'ni b'chori, b'marte lav, and I'm going to tell you, I'm tell Paro, shalach et b'ni v'yabdu, and he send my children, they can worship me, but temein l'shocho, he won't send. If not, if you don't send, then I will kill your Bechor. The Torah is so beautiful. It puts the Bechor, the Jewish people are bincha Bechori, but Paro, I'm going to kill your Bechor. But that's the chronological Bechor. In other words, the Bechor of Paro is going to be replaced by the Bechor of Yisrael. So bincha Bechorecha, that's how God tells Moshe to refer, that's who the Jewish people are, who Paro has to let go. And if not, your Bechor. If you don't know what a real Bechor is, I'm going to take away your Bechor. You're going to lose your birthday because all your Bechorim are going to die. Okay. Okay, let's get to this. Okay. So, you loved him. Here it's you loved. See, Avram, it's Avram loves God. I mean, God may have loved Abraham too, but the emphasis is on Avram's love of God. Here, the emphasis is God's love of Yaakov. that you, God, loved Yaakov, and you rejoiced in him. It's very interesting. Karata et shmo Yisrael v'Yishurun. And because you loved him and rejoiced in him, you called his name Yisrael Yishurun. By Hebrew Shurun Melech, right? Now, of course, Yisrael and Yishurun mean the same thing from the word of Yashar, right? To be straight. Yisrael has a few meanings. Sariel, the prince of God, but it means Yashar. And of course, Yashar is the opposite of Akov, you know, Akev is all twisted, right? Yaakov. And this is the transition of Yaakov from an Akev to a Yashar. And Yishurun, the Jewish people are Yishurun, are straight, are upright. And this, of course, I'll go over a few of it. I'm sure many people have seen it, but maybe you can tell me, last time you read it. The importance of being a Yashar. So first of all, Basita Yashar Vahatov. The Ramban says that's like the most important verse in the Torah. That and Kedoshim to you. Those are the meta verses in the Torah. Basita Yashar Vahatov. Do the straight and the good. And the Ramban says, what does that mean? So he says, the Pshat, you follow the Torah, Yashar, the Torah is Yashar and good. Okay, very nice, but I don't need the Torah to repeat itself, right? There's obviously, we do, that's the Pshat, the Drash, the additional level, is Likni Mishurat Hadin. Basita Yashar Batov is the source that a Jew has to act beyond the letter of the law. It's not some the spirit of the law, it's not such a great explanation. Said many times, Basita Liknin means before. Means don't go to court, settle it out of court, because the deen is a shura, the deen is a straight line. Yikov adin et hatahar, the justice has to pierce a mountain. We cannot distinguish between a poor and a wealthy, a billionaire with a pauper, and the billionaire is slightly right, the billionaire wins. It's a prohibition in the Torah for the judge to favor the pauper over the billionaire, or to favor the billionaire over the pauper. Total ignoring of any factor. That's not nice. That's not good. That's the deen. If you go to court, you have no choice. A judge cannot show mercy. There's only deen. That's what we call it, a beit deen. We don't call it a beit rachamim. It's a beit deen. It's a house of judgment, pure judgment. You have to act lifnim. You have to act in a way so we don't get to deen. You make a compromise, make an out-of-court settlement, do this. That's what the Ram says. It's a pshara, compromise, for lifnim, act before lifnei. So that's the notion of Asita Yashar Vahatov. Jewish people have to get along. Of course, Yaakov's, you know, children, it took a long time for them. And who knows if they ever really, there was never really a complete full reconciliation. But it's more than that. The Jewish people have to be assuring. So who wants to tell me, I'll show it up on the screen in a second, the beautiful introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishit. Has anybody read it in the last year? Anybody read it in the last 50 years? Nobody?
Did you
really now I am curious. Do people, how many people know what I'm referring to when I say the introduction of the Netziv Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the great Rosh Yeshiva and the Valachian Yeshiva 19th century, his introduction to the commentary on Bereishit. Do people know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I've read it.
You've read it. Okay, good. Other people?
Yes, I've read it also.
Oh, good. Lots of people. Okay, great. So who wants to summarize it? Oh, that's dangerous. That's not necessary. That's not fair. Okay, so I'll summarize. Have you read it recently, by the way? Everybody should. I am so guilty. You should read it at least once a year. Like, we fast on Yom Kippur, you know, we got to eat matzah once, at least once a year. Like on Tisha B'Av, you know, that's the day to read. I mean, if you have one day a year, so read it every Tisha B'Av. It's a good thing to read on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so let's quickly read it. Let me just find it here. Let's quickly read it. So this is an introduction. Okay, Zeh Sefer Nikra Sefer Bereishit, right? It's called Bereishit. Nikra V'fi Nevi'im. Oh, but you know what? Our prophets give it another name. Sefer HaYashar, the Book of the Straight. As it says, okay, we'll go the whole thing. So, and he quotes, Shenikru Yisharim, and Sefer Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, the book of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that's what we call Bereishit, the book of our forefathers. Shenikru Yisharim, they were called straight people, they're straight. Shenamar Tamut Nafshi Mot Yisharim, I should die a death of the straight. Who said that, by the way? Shenamar Tamut Nafshi Mot Yisharim. Anybody know who said that?
Bilam.
Bilam, very good. Okay, you guys are great. Bilam. So you have to know, why did Bilam, Karat Avotenu, B'Shem Yisharim, B'Yichud, Lot Tzadikim, why did Bilam refer to us as Yisharim, etc. So then he says, V'Nyan D'Nifer B'Shirat Hazinu, Hatsur Tamim Palo, God is a righteous judge, a pure judge, Tzadik V'Yashar. God is a Tzadik and Yashar. What's the difference of a Tzadik and a Yashar? The Shevach Yashar, Yashar is said to explain, to justify why God destroyed the second temple. This is like unbelievably powerful. I don't care how many times you read it. The Jews in the second temple period were tzaddikim. They were tzaddikim. They were chassidim. They were righteous, pious, and amalei. They didn't just study Torah. They were amel in Torah. They were dedicated their life. They toiled in Torah 15 hours a day. They studied. They were tzaddikim. Unbelievable. They were the greatest of the great. But they weren't yisharim b'halichot olim. They didn't know how to walk in the world. They were like in the ivory tower, but much worse. They hated one another. They were jealous of one another. You know, my Judaism is right, your Judaism is wrong. When they saw another Jew, he had a different style hat, and he didn't have a hat, and he didn't have a kippah serugah. When they saw somebody practice, he davened nusach svard, and he davened zashmina. They saw somebody acting not like them, birat Hashem. He said, afikoros. Afikoros. What is that guy? A lowlife. He knows nothing. So that they killed each other. It's like funny. They didn't actually kill each other. They embarrassed him. That's a form of killing in an exaggerated way. They kill. They did all these evil things. Therefore, God destroyed the temple. God is a tzaddik. Doesn't mean here God is righteous. I mean, it means that too, but it means Siduk Adin, right? We say, unfortunately, at a funeral, we justify Baruch Dayan Emet. God is the true judge. So God had it was totally right of God to destroy and exile the people. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yashar. God is straight. Straight. You know, I shake your hand. You can trust me in business. We know what straight means. Straight. Don't give me this. Don't go like this. Pay to me straight. That's why we praise the brothers of Yaakov. But they hated him, but they told him they hated him. They didn't be nice to him in his face and then stab him in the back. That's Yesharim. Tell it like it is. They know Sovel Tzadikim Kelo. This is such a powerful. God cannot tolerate. So he cannot take Sivlot Mitzrayim. I cannot take it. I hate these Tzadikim. Elef Ofen Shochim Ederech Yashar. He said he can't stand them. They know Sovel. God wants people who are Yesharim to go straight. Gam balichat olam, in the ways of the world. Lo baknimut, not in, conniving. Afa gav shulash, of course they were doing it for God's sake. They, what do you mean? He's not bikurat. I'm doing it l'shem shemaim. This is for the sake of heaven. We have to keep the purity of Torah. Those people, I'm doing it because I love you, God. It's totally l'shem shemaim. The zeg orem churban habriya. You want to destroy the world? Act l'shem shemaim. Right? You know the expression. It isn't a joke. It's really true. Kol machloket shehil Hashem shemaim sofa liyikayim. When you have a machloket, right? The normal pshat. When there's a machloket for the sake of heaven, it will have something good. Sofa liyikayim, something positive. But they say, I don't think it's a joke. When you have a machloket, the Hashem shemaim sofa liyikayim. That machloket will never end. Kiyum will have a permanence. Once people have God in it, that fight can never end. And Rav Schachter told us more than once. I forget who he quoted somebody. He said, first of all, there hasn't been a machlok l'shem shemaim in at least 500 years. That means not the Hasidim, not the Misnagdim, not the Reform, nothing. There hasn't been a machlok l'shem shemaim in 500 years. I don't know why there was 500 years ago. Maybe it's like a mamzer, 10 term, which seems also 2,000 years ago. I don't know. And then he quoted, I really have to ask him. He quoted someone who says it's better to put an idol in shul than to have these machlokas, the shem shemaim. So this is like unbelievably powerful. The Nasib couldn't care less. It's because it's the shem shemaim. It's not that, even though the Shem Shemayim, I'd say he's saying more. It's because it's the Shem Shemayim, it's even worse, because they're going to fight more, because they're, you know, we know if you fight in the name of God, the more people are being killed in the name of religion than anything else. People are also killed not in the name of religion, but religion can kill. If you're not a yashar, you can only be a tzaddik. If you have a choice to be a tzaddik and yashar, that's great. That's the best. To be only a yashar, that's good. It'd be nice to be a tzaddik. Be only a tzaddik, that's actually terrible. Better to be nothing than be only a tzaddik. Harishtut, unless you think I'm misinterpreting the Netziv, please tell me. But it's what he says. Harishtut yishuv aretz. It destroys the settlement of the land. And then, Zeshavachavot. Ah, but Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were yisharim. They knew how to get along. They were straight. What does it mean to be straight? So the Nesiv tells you, they had nice relationship, even with those disgusting idol worshippers. Of the mechuar, ugly. The afilu of them, they heat nagu imam. They had nice relationship. Hello, how are you? The Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to send somebody a New Year's card. That's what the writes in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. They censored it out, the word New Year. But in the earlier manuscripts in the Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear. New Year's. He writes Nun Yud, you know, Nun Bab Yud Yud, Yud Reish Year. You know, send a, you have to, good relationship. We have to give tzedakah to non-Jews. We have to go to their funerals. That's the Gemara. Mefarnesim ani akum. Doesn't say non-Jews, says idol worshippers. Remember idol worshipper? How bad is idol worship? Maybe not so bad. Avoda zar, even idol worshipper. Hayuimam ba'ahava, they love them. They love idol worshippers. Wow. They want to seek God. So they seek God differently. So you know what? So he's a reformed Jew. He's seeking God. Wonderful, beautiful. I love them. The chashula tovatam, they want to help them out. Not to compare the two, but you know what I mean. I don't, you know. Chashula tovatam. They were concerned they should good. Basher hu kiyum habriyah. That's how you keep the world going. K'moshanu ro'im kamish tatech Avram Avinu l'itbalel l'stom. But Avram Avinu, he davened so hard for stom. For stom, he davened. We would say, God, kill them. Wipe them out. We hate stom. Afal gav shayas soneotam. It's very interesting. Philosophically, deep down, he hated stom. They were terrible. Tachlit sina. Of which they were evil. Terrible. Mikom makom. Nanda chapes b'kiyumam. He wanted to exist, to do better, to go on. So you get the point. You get the point. So that's what it means to be a yeshar. So I apologize if this is too much review for people, but the review is more important than learning. Yeah, as you probably know, because I review all the time. And I'm a big believer that the Gemara says it's not the same thing to review something 100 times and 101 times. There's always a new insight, a new thing, and we forget everything. That's the human that we forget most things. So review, I'm a big believer, review is the most important part of learning. But anyway, so this is the unbelievable, fascinating introduction of the Netziv Bereshit. This is the beginning of the Torah. This is what Torah is all about. Bereshit, that's what we learn from our book. So, Karat et Shmo Yisrael v'Yisharun. God called us Yisharim. That's the role of the Jewish people, is to be a Yashar. And to be a Yashar means our relationship with the non-Jewish world, our relationship, of course, beginning with other Jews, right? They hated other Jews. Oh, he's an Apikoros. He's not like me. But it's not enough only a relationship with other Jews. We have to love non-Jews, even idolaters in the non-Jewish world. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are people who do that, who reach out and, there is something to be said. You know, the old joke, I'll end with this. I don't know why I'm thinking of it. You know, the joke with Dr. Belkin. I don't know who the Cardinal O'Connor, you have to tell me in New York, who was the Cardinal when Belkin was the president of Yeshiva University in the 60s and 70s. They have a famous story, a joke that they once spoke, what dinner this was, but both Dr. Belkin, the president of Yeshiva University, I think it was Cardinal O'Connor, Cardinal of New York, you know, right below the Pope. They spoke.
Cardinal Spellman.
Spellman, thank you very much. Maybe you want to tell the whole story. You'll tell it better than I do. So apparently Dr. Belkin got up. And he said, you know, Cardinal Stillman, both you and I are men of God. We seek God. You know, we have our different ways. We're men of God. We're men of religion. But there's a big difference between you and me. He says, you wear a red yarmulke. You wear a red head covering and your organization is in the black. I wear a black covering and my organization is in the red. That was okay. You didn't like the joke. I'm sorry, but that was apparently the famous one. But you know, you can joke with the cardinal. You get along with the cardinal. You got to work with the cardinals. Very, very important. Even Rav Soloveitchik, you know, confrontation where Rav Soloveitchik was against and against ecumenical dialogue, in other words, against religious dialogue, you know, interfaith dialogue. That was only the interfaith part, the Rav Soloveitchik. Of course, we should work with Catholics and priests and Protestants. He wasn't against cooperation. It was in the theological thing. So we have different religions. We worship God differently. There's no point to argue about it. I'm not going to convince you. You're not going to convince me. We don't want to convince each other. Everybody should worship God as they see properly. It's not for discussion. That's for you. But to work together, of course we work together. Anyways, there's a lot here. Okay, let's quickly review. It's getting late. Okay, man can be an animal or be like God, either or. Either we're this or either we're that. Either the world, we were created last to have the world ready for us, or we were created last because we're a nobody, an ant is first. And the Ten Commandments, right? The first, maybe the first is most important, or is the last most important? So it's not one or the other. Depends what you do with it. Okay. But then the second half, after describing, we can be like, we're different. We have a covenant. The covenant is a two-way relationship. God makes a condition we make, and you have to suffer for the covenant. You have to work. A covenant that's given to you on a plate of gold is not a covenant. If you don't struggle for it, it's worthless. That's true about everything in life. You have to sacrifice. And therefore, the covenant is the Bahar HaMoriah. What God, Avram, who loved God, and the difference between love and awe and fear. And right, normally you can only have one relationship with God. It's very difficult. We have to have both. But we emphasize the love because the mitzvotah say the positive commandment uproots the negative. Love is greater than fear or even awe. So that talk about Avram and Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the only one was different. He was willing to go on the Mizbeach, and then he named it and changed because he was who he was. But Avram and Yaakov, like great transformation. Like Avram goes from an idol worshiper to an Obed Hashem, to an Eved Hashem. And Yaakov goes from, you know, trickery and not understanding to become the person who founds Klal Yisrael, who gets the only one, who gets all his children in the fold. Avram Yitzchak did not merit that. Avram batted 1 for 8. He did pretty, everybody did better. Avram had 8 children, it says in the Torah, right? The 6 he married with Keturah later. Only one is part of the Jewish people. Yitzchak did better. 50 batted 500. And Yaakov batted 1,000, 13 for 13. So and of course he's named by God, and the name Yisrael is by, their names get changed. Yitzchak doesn't get changed. And it's only with Yaakov that we become an Adam. He's the eldest, because eldest doesn't mean chronological. It means, the special relationship with God. And that's the transformation by Paro. You're going to be our eldest, but not Paro. And then the importance of being a Yashar. And being a Yashar is more important than being a Tzaddik. And sometimes being a Tzaddik is bad, because a Tzaddik without a Yashar destroys it. Like we've spoken on other occasions, one who is deeply religious, really observant, the mitzvah between man and God, but it's dishonest in business. That's what the Gemara says. That's a chilul Hashem. It would be better if he a treif, because people are going to say, oh, he's religious, and that's the way it's. So they're going to come. That's a Gemara in Yuma 86a. I don't have time to show it. We've discussed it before. So sometimes you got to be very careful. Worship of God is wonderful, but like everything, got to handle it with care. And if you worship God inappropriately, you're a tzaddik who considers everybody else not because that's worship of God. That's actually negative. That would be better if you don't worship God. It's a powerful message. I don't know any other way to interpret it unless you can tell me some other way, but it's a little scary message in a sense, but it's a powerful. Okay. If anybody has any questions, you can unmute yourself. So let me, would fear be a good reason to obtain a religious divorce? I'm not exactly sure what you mean, unless you mean if the husband instills fear in the wife or vice versa. That is wrong. That would be terrible. You have to love. The Gemara says, Reacha is your wife. That's really, I'm not sure what love of Hashem here means. Question, we have to love Hashem. It's very hard. How do you love Hashem? When we get to Shema, we can talk about the different ways. How do you fulfill the mitzvah? Vahavta Hashem Avkach. It's a very, not a simple mitzvah at all. Not a simple, it's not even clear what it means, what it means to love God. Okay, his descendants would be numerous and stars, right? That's, he says, fat and the sand. That's what he said. Abraham is Shamayim and Aretz. Abraham is the fulfillment of creation. That's why I think after the Akedah, after he demonstrates his sacrifice, after he demonstrates his willingness to accept the pain and suffering of the covenant, so he gets the bracha of Shamayim and Aretz. He gets the bracha that the stars in the heaven and the sand of the sea. Okay, sand, sea, greatness and small. Correct. Thank you very much, Yochevet. The stars is the greatness and the smallness, right? That's a theme we didn't discuss now, but correct. Very good. Thank you. Both of these places cover them before, right? Correct. They're not. That's my point. My point is that here we're emphasizing the fact that after he made that effort for the Akedah, why did they choose this bracha? First of all, historically, because this was added into the Siddur in the time of persecution. But I think to show us that the true relationship has to sometimes, the true covenantal relationship, the covenant God gave with Avraham, unfortunately, I'm for suffering. It's going to be hard. They will worship and afflict and persecute them. So that shows our demonstration of the covenant. So I think that's why it's referring to it here. Okay, Yitzchak was 37 years old. That's one. That's the famous opinion of Rashi. I would say it's not the pshat. It's not the simple meaning, right? That's if you assume that Sarah died on hearing Yitzchak. So she was 127, 90. So then works out 37. It could be. Could be he was 37. We don't know. And the fact that we don't know means we don't care. In other words, the Torah wants us, when the Torah is ambiguous, 99.9% of the time Torah is ambiguous, I say, because the Torah wants us to give multiple explanations. Let's read the Akedah story as if Yitzchak is 4 years old. Now let's read it. He's a 18-year-old teenager. Let's read it. He's 22 and recently married, even though, okay, he wasn't married till 40, but whatever. Maybe we should read it. He's 45. Maybe it's after he got married. The Torah leaves it out to allow us to read it different ways. And when we read the story, when Yitzchak is 5 or 15 or 37, you're going to read it differently. That's exactly what the Torah wants you to do. Because remember, said many times, the Torah doesn't care about the history, doesn't care about the Akedah as the Akedah. It cares about the Akedah for us. What do we learn from the Akedah? Who cares about from Yitzchak? It's for us. So the Torah leaves it blank, so we can fill in the blanks, and we can fill in the blanks. It's multiple choice tests where all of the above are correct, and therefore you have to interpret the story with A, and then with B, and then with C, and then with D. That's why 100 times, 101 times, every year, when you just go over Parshat HaShavua, read the story with this year the Ramban, and next year the Malbim, and I should do this. I'm talking to myself. But in theory, that's the ideal way to learn Chumash, that every year you take a new, the Ketav HaKabbalah this year, the Malbim this year, the Netziv, or the Meshach Chochma. We got enough Perushim Admeyav Esrim. We can keep you, if you run out, we'll give you some more Admeyav Esrim that every year take a new Parshan and learn the Torah differently. So the Torah doesn't tell us how old he was on purpose. Okay, how do we know Yitzchak didn't see the bad? Yes.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying.
Sure.
I think I may have heard this in a shir on Torah Motion that, let's say the story of the Akedah was used as an example, that the Torah is also written in a way that a 5-year-old can take away from it, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, meaning the person who's reading it. There are many
excellent
players.
For sure. That's just the flip side. 100%. Right. Torah has to be read. When Chanoch Lenaro Peter Koas, when you teach Torah, you have to teach to each individual student. A lot of sources that will come to me soon to exactly back up. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Yes, the Torah has to be read as a child. That's read as, and when we're children, we read Torah as children. When we're adults, we get a little bit older. You have to read it as a sophisticated adult. And when you live in the modern world, you read it differently. You live in America and you live in Israel. It's a different read than the shtetl in Europe. How do we discuss our relationship with our non-Jews when we're in America and Canada? But despite the little antennas, despite what happened last Shabbos in Shul, this is the best time in Jewish history to be a Jew. The Jews have never been safer. Jews have never had it better in history. You know, how does that compare to a Jew living, being persecuted in the Pale of Settlement or before, and not to talk about Auschwitz, you know? So how do you read the Netziv? We should love the non-Jews and care about them, about the people of Stone when they're killing us. It's God forbid. It's a different read. Then it's very easy for us. It's very easy for me living in Canada, wonderful country, beautiful. And to say, yeah, be nice to the non-Jews. The non-Jews are nice to us. They want to marry us. We marry them. So that's a fascinating thing. You have to think about that a lot. It's very important. The Netziv wrote it. Wasn't so great for the Jews. The Netziv's in Russia. The Russians closed down the yeshiva eventually. They didn't want what's going on there. The Netziv, I wasn't, Balashin existed, but I don't think it's not like the Russia in the 19th century was like this ideal state. And yet he's writing this. So it's very important. Thank you for that. Yes. Okay. Maybe Yitzchak had post-traumatic syndrome. Could be 100% afterwards, for sure. How can you go to the Akedah and not be affected by it? But the fact that he was willing to go, and obviously that's one of my point, it affected his whole life. Okay. Ranak, I assume that's the Rambam. And Mor Nevuchi Hazman. Okay. Yeah. From Nachum Kramchal in Mor Nevuchi Hazman. The update of the Mor Nevuchi is describing a vote as ours, a vote not to the Ruchani Mula. I'm sorry. I don't know what that means, but Tova. But yes, as I was saying, a vote as ours can have something positive. I don't know if you want to, you wanted to chime in and say that would be great. Okay. Otherwise, I got to run to chat, actually.
Ruchani Mukhlat. Okay.
Shabbat Shalom. One minute. Yeah. What did you want to say that a vote is ours? What?
Ranak Rabbi Nachman Kramchal.
That I know. Yeah. But
he did not continue Rambam's, but he went bedarchei Rambam in answering to philosophy of his own time.
Right. Correct.
And at Moran that time, in one of his articles, Haruchani Amukhlat, he described Avodah Zarah as people searching for God, but did not find the right way. In a way, it gave gibui to what you said in the same
That's path. Yitro. That's Yitro. Yitro searched for God. He worshipped every God. And we consider Yitro, I mean, Rabbi Samuel Shear last night was all about description, who Yitro was. The searching... The Torah sees great value. Again, it's a dialectic. It's on the one hand, Torah sees great value in the search of God, even if it's Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, the Torah says Avodah Zarah is terrible. Both are true. So you have to mesh them together. But you can think about that till next week. But I got to run. I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Thank your friend. Sunday morning, Rabbi Liebtag is back with the new series. Everybody be well. Invite your friends. And we look forward to learning with you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Next week. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.